Hopefully, these lessons have helped us to grow and understand more of God's word with regards to different things. Today, we're going to look at dressing. Okay, it's very controversial, but I believe it's very important. As Christians, we need to dress in a biblical way in order to honor the Lord. Okay, so let's have a word of prayer. Then after that, we'll dive in to understand, okay, dressing for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning that we can come into your house. Lord, we know that you love us. And Father, as a result, we love you, Lord, because you first love us. Thank you for the salvation you so freely has given to us, that we can be called the children of God. It was such a privilege, Lord, to be called your children. And Lord, even as we want to learn your word today, we pray that the Holy Spirit will fill us, and we ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit right now, of understanding, that we might know your word, so that we can be more effective and grow as Christians, Lord. And I pray that your word will, you help us to understand your word and to practice it. I will thank you for what you're going to do. Bring the brethren quickly, Lord, for those who are on their way, for those who are overseas. We remember Allison, we remember Leandra, we remember Sister Isabella, who's also overseas, and some of the other brother Gideon as well. I pray, Lord, that you protect them and help them to find places that they can worship, Lord, so that they will be able to also be fed on the word of God. So right now, we commit this 45 minutes or so into your hands. Speak to us in a special way. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit will teach us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Okay, these two are the memory verses, okay, that you have. You can jot it down, Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. And we'll be going through those verses afterwards. So afterwards, we'll go through that. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, and 1 Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 9. We'll be going that through that in detail afterwards, okay? Dressing for the Lord, okay, as the title imply, God actually have a way of dressing for Christians. And the purpose is not to make us weird. The purpose is actually to help us to glorify God in a way that honors Him. Okay? As a believer in Christ, we want to talk the way God wants us to talk. We want to think the way God wants us to think. We want to live the way God wants us to live. And one of the areas that affect life is our wardrobe, our cupboard, the clothing we have. Okay? The world has many styles that some Christians get sucked into as well. But we have to find out from the Bible, if you're Christians and Bible believers, so what kind of dressing honor God? Okay, so we'll be touching on that specifically today. Okay, looking at this, okay, the clothes you wear speak more than what you say. What if one day I come on Sunday in a clown suit? Hey, Pastor, what happened to you? Today is Sunday. Why you dress up in a clown suit, you know? Or if I was like that? Is it? Does it affect your... Hey, Pastor, you know, if I wear my tie like that, the whole session is, how come Pastor tie is so out of place? What we wear actually speaks more than what we say, okay? Our clothes make a huge difference in what people think, more than we can ever imagine. We make judgments from what people, what someone is wearing, even without proper evidence. All right? And therefore, that's why when you go for interviews, people will teach you how to wear, what to wear. Okay? There's this phrase in circles called power dressing, where ladies will dress in suit pants, tie, and coat, to show the kind of so-called power they have, all right, in terms of authority. Now, this is not from anyone else. It's actually from a psychology text. Not that they are the standard, but you know, there are many things that are observed in the world that as Christians, we need to be wise about, okay? For as Christians, if the world thinks that the clothing we wear actually say more, then we need to be also aware as Christians all the more. All right, if this is real, then how do we as Christians honor God with our dressing? Okay? Dress is very important because it's a language. Like it or not, it's a language. How we dress is a language. We actually send a message. We actually send a message out. Okay? And one of the things I noticed when I was in Nepal was the people there are very poor, but when they come to church, they dress very well. And one of the reasons is because they want to dress well for the Lord. They want to dress well for the Lord. Okay? The idea is not so much to put on a lot of nice clothing, but they want to dress their best for the Lord. Dress is important because it sends a message. Okay, you can send a message that I care a lot. You know, when if the president were to come to our church next Thursday, tomorrow, next week, President Halima is coming to our church. I don't know why she'll come to our church. But if, let's say she comes, I think many of us will actually try to dress a little bit better. Right? Simply because there is someone important that is coming. All right? We come to church every Sunday and Jesus is the most important person in the universe. That's why we need to dress well for the Lord. It sends a message whether we care or whether we don't care. Whether we respect the person or whether we not. Whether we care about our work or not. Okay? And in different jobs, they have different type of dressing. Okay? If a person, I think some of y'all work in engineering, in certain core room or some rooms, you have to dress in a certain way. Why? Because to protect you or to make sure you're warm enough. Because their clothing is suited for the situation. It sends a message, okay? Just to participate, what kind of message do you think this boy is sending? Just look at his dressing. What kind of message is he sending? Can you see? Okay, what kind of dressing does he have? It's a t-shirt. What else? Huh? He had ripped jeans. Okay, ripped jeans. Okay, so he ripped jeans. What else? He has a hat. Okay. And how is he wearing his hat? All right. So what message do you think he's sending to you? Huh? Hip hop. Okay. Why do you say hip hop? Like a rock star, okay. What? Okay. Rock star, hip hop. That didn't come to my mind. Anyway, so he's saying he's a hip hop rock star. All right. So that means, are you saying that he probably know this kind of dressing and therefore he want to dress like that? Or maybe he's been listening to all these rock musicians and all that. Okay. Anyone else? What kind of message do you think he's sending? All right, Joshua. What message do you think he's sending? Don't bother. Very informal, bochaf, you know. Okay. What else? Very cool, right? Hanging there with everyone, getting the message he sent. Would you dress like that to go to work? Would you dress like that to go to work? I said this before and some people started laughing because some of them do dress like that to go to work, depending on what job you have, okay? But in the office job and all that, will you dress like that? How many of you in your workplace actually have the dress code? Yeah, you have? Do you have a dress code? You have, right? Yeah, even in KK, they have a dress code. All right? As a therapist, I'm supposed to wear the tie, but we argue against that because tie can kill us because the children can pull our tie. So there's no ties, but we're supposed to wear shirts and nice, at least dress pants, okay, to see our patients. Okay? What about this guy? What kind of message is he sending? Sorry? He's what? He's very rich, okay? He's rich. What else? Huh? Professional, okay? Huh? You know what? Rajun, what message is he sending to you? Very educated, okay. Yeah, Brother Joshua, don't agree. So you're smiling, why? Sorry? Mature, okay? All right? So does that mean if Asher dressed like that, be very mature? Okay? But I think you all agree, it does send a message. Actually, I was looking through and I think some of the photos, I said, okay, I'm not going to show this because there are other messages that I think, like in the dressing outside, you look at advertisements, you look at the way. It is to send a message. Hey, you need this kind of dress. It makes you look, you know, it makes you look like a certain person. Okay, this is very important. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs. It's not there. Book of Proverbs. So just by way of introduction, so that we can be on the same page with regards to what God wants us. Book of Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 7. Let me just read from verse 6. Just want to highlight this point. For at the window of my house, I looked through a casement. From the window of my house, so King Solomon is saying, there was one day I was just sitting at the window, I was looking, and beheld among the simple ones are people without understanding. I discerned among the youth a young man empty of understanding. I mean, he's a young person, but he doesn't understand much. Innocent. Innocent and simple is different. Okay, simple simply means, the word simple in the Hebrew, it means airhead, full of space, empty, nothing. Dumb. Maybe not dumb, okay? You can be simple, but you may not be dumb, okay? Dumb as in, no, not that kind of dumb. Empty, that means he will just, everything that comes, and he doesn't have any convictions of his own, okay? Then in verse number 8, passing through the street near her house, her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman, that was a lady who met him, with the dressing attire of a prostitute and subtle of heart. The attire of a prostitute. Okay? Now, back in the first century, the Corinthian church, there was a very clear attire that they wore. It's their hair, short hair. Okay? In the Corinthian church, during those times, okay, in the first 20, 30 years after Jesus Christ died and went back to heaven, AD 15, in the city of Corinth, you can identify a prostitute. She had short hair. She had short hair. Okay? And God actually taught the Corinthian church that it is actually a shame for ladies to short hair. Not just for the Corinthian church, but in general, because for ladies to have long hair, that's their glory. I mean, thank God that, in fact, all of you all have long hair, and that is actually God's intention. Okay? And for men to have long hair is actually a shame. That's what the Bible says. Okay? But during that time, Solomon actually says here, there was a woman who was dressed with the dressing of a harlot. So that tells us that dressing sends a message. Dressing does show what kind of woman we are, or men we are. Okay? And here, we have to be careful as Christians. We don't want to be dressed in this kind of dress. After this, we'll talk about clear Bible principles with regards to our dressing. Okay? So, there was one time, okay, I'll just relate, this is very scary. There was one time I sent someone home, and then I was driving through, the fastest way is through Geylang. You know Geylang? The Geylang is famous for the red light districts, okay, which is actually a lot of immoral people. And so I was very frightened because as I was kind of just, you know, there are traffic lights there. So I was there, I was just looking around. There was this lady who was doing this. I'm glad it turned green. I accelerated and went off. All right? And the people dressing there are no good. And you know that they are that kind of person. They are prostitutes through the way they dress. And it's a sad thing today, many Christian girls even dress like that. You know, those very short shorts. It's not short shorts. Actually, if you look at the Bible, it's no different from wearing your undergarment. So I'm just highlighting this because this world is going to bombard the church and Christians with the way they dress. But for us as Christians, we need to understand our dressing does send a message. Message of who we belong to, okay? And how we want to portray ourselves as Christians, okay? So this is Abercrombie and Fitch, okay? The company that sells edgy clothing featuring loose sexuality is said to be best known for its rebellious attitude. Now, it's not written by Christians. It's not written by Christian. It's written by Business Week. Okay, it's taken from a magazine. All right, and the best known for having clothing that reflect a rebellious attitude. Okay, dressing sends an attitude. How we dress sends an attitude. If I go to work in slippers and shorts and T-shirt, I think my boss will come, hey, come, Johnny, come. Why are you dressed like that? It shows that I have no respect for the work. I have no respect. I don't care about that work. Okay? So we need to be very, very aware of that. Okay? If I wear this T-shirt, Asher, what do you think, what kind of person do you think I am? You know, sorry, what kind of person do you think I am? Someone who thinks, what makes you say that? That's not fair, you judge me. Eh? The brand, why? Tiger is okay, what the brand? Why? Because it's a beer brand, right? Yeah, I'm just pulling your link. People don't judge you by who you are. They judge you by what you wear. Not all the time, but your clothing actually sends a message. Okay, this one, some people may know. Right? Can you see that? What's AC/DC? Arjun. Heavy metal, rock, heavy metal group. No, it's not even a rock group, it's heavy metal group, okay? What does AC/DC mean? A group of rockers. If I'm not wrong, they're saying it's Antichrist, devil's children. I don't know. Then there's a lightning in the middle. You know what's a lightning? The Bible says, Jesus said, I saw lightning fell from heaven, referring to the devil. Okay? So what kind of person do you think this guy is? What kind of person do you think he is? Huh? Punk. He's probably a punk metal rocker, okay? What if as a Christian you just, it's okay, well, I just wear, and just walk out. Oh. See, the association, you may say, Pastor, that's not the way to judge. Unfortunately, that's how the world judge, and unfortunately, that's how the devil wants to twist people's brain. Let's say if I wear that, you all will be very offended. Maybe I should wear that. Then see how people, maybe I should do that. Okay, one more. Okay? This one? What? Well, this one? Cute, okay. Would Asher wear that? Would you wear that? Why? It's a t-shirt. It's a nice t-shirt. It's Hello Kitty t-shirt. Why? It's cute, right? Joshua, would you wear that? Would you wear that? Why? It's a t-shirt. It's a cute t-shirt. Yes. Yeah. Why? Why? Something wrong. Why? It's just a t-shirt. Or is it? You see, when we are not wearing, we say, hey, there's something wrong. But then when someone actually is wearing it, and you say, hey, you shouldn't be wearing this. Why? Okay, why? Does that make sense? You know, one of the ways of getting wisdom is to listen to what our godly brothers and sisters tell us. All right? And so, we are very clear. Asher is not going to wear Hello Kitty. But would your sister wear? Don't know. What? Okay, Esther Joy, would you wear? Why are you laughing? Oh, maybe I'm too mature for that, Dad. Okay, I don't wear Hello Kitty anymore. It must be brand or something like that. And that's important. I hope that driven in the lesson that, you know, as Christians, we want to make sure we glorify God even in our dressing. If as a pastor, I would have a t-shirt that have tiger beer, people don't know me. If people outside, they don't know me, that's fine. But they will say, hey, this person probably drink beer. Then if you say, do you know that guy is a pastor? Huh? He's a pastor? A pastor wear that kind of t-shirt? Even though he's an innocent comment, he can actually be a stumbling block. Okay, does that make sense? Okay? All right. Now we'll go to Bible. What are biblical principles of Christian dressing so that we can have, I think one of the things which is very important for us to understand, you know, as pastor, I don't have to tell you what to dress. I don't have to tell you what to dress. I need to give you what the Bible says. Then we need to stay as close to the scriptures as possible. So as we move forward, we want to do that. Today we just touch on two principles, and next week we have a few more, okay? Let's look at this verse first. That's now this one of your memory verses. Okay, you can jot it down. Okay. The Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, in like manner, also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Okay? So this verse actually specifically teaches, okay, Paul was teaching on women's dressing here, okay, after he talked to the men later. All right, this verse teaches specifically on ladies' dressing. And the first principle that Paul highlights the word adorn means to dress up. To dress up. In the same way, the women ought to dress up in modest apparel. Okay? A Christian dressing, firstly, is to be modest. It's to be modest. Christian dressing is to be modest. The word modest has the idea that there are three points. Okay, the first one is modesty is covering the body properly and does not expose parts of the body that have a sexual appeal. All right. In other words, you cover up yourself properly, that you don't show parts of your body to other people that only your husband can see. All right. And today, sexuality is a big selling point, meaning that many advertisers use it to sell things. Okay, to sell things. You know, like a very nice restaurant, they have this pretty lady to hold a menu. Why? Because you may not like the food, but you may be attracted. Like, okay, I can't try the food. So they use that a lot. Okay, modesty is a covering of the body properly, which does not expose parts of the body to have sexual appeal. There's 3 points that under modest dressing. Okay, the first principle is our dressing must be modest. It must cover us properly. So even for guys, when we dress, sometimes I do have some shirts that maybe see through. I put on a singlet or something, or inner garment, so as to be careful with that modesty. Okay. So let's turn to Isaiah 47 verse 1-3. Isaiah chapter 47 verse 1-3. I'll just give you this passage. After this, I'll expound a little bit more in terms of another principle. Modesty. Isaiah 47 and verse 3 says this, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans." God was pronouncing judgment on the Babylonian Empire now, okay? "For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate." In other words, you're no more innocent. "Take the millstones and grind meal." That means you are going to be a slave. The millstone is those big things, you know, like grind soybean, the big millstone. "And grind meal. Uncover the locks." Locks refers to your hairstyle. You know, those very, very upper class ladies who will bind their hair nicely with lots of perhaps things to, we call it, hairpin and nice little decoration on the hair. Uncover the locks as the idea of let down your hair, uncover it. Not like slaves who don't have time to decorate themselves, so their hair is all coming down. It's very dirty, like a slave. Okay. The next one is make bare the leg. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Uncover the thigh. Now, that is a very important principle of nakedness to God. Okay? If you think of the olden days, like even in Chinese serials and all that, they always dress all the way here. All right? And some people say that's very old-fashioned, but that's actually a Bible principle. If you go to the Muslims' dressing, they always have all the way to the ankle. But we do not want to govern ourselves by this kind of standard. We need to govern ourselves by God's standards. The Bible says, uncover the thigh. Where's the thigh? The thigh is here, all the way to your knee. The word uncover the thigh means reveal your thighs. And the Bible says in the next verse, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. In the idea of God's vision, in the idea of God, is whenever the thigh is exposed, that's nakedness to God. Okay? And therefore, that becomes immodest. So God is teaching through one verse in the Bible. After there's another passage after this I'll talk about in the second principle. But we need to understand once the thigh is uncovered, that's nakedness to God. All right? And so he's referring to the daughters of Babylon, the ladies. Okay? Now, based on this principle, what types of clothing will reveal the body? Means in general, what kind of clothing, based on what you know or what you think, and also this verse, what kind of clothing will actually reveal the body? Shorts, okay, shorts. What else? Hot pants. Oh, that's a big one today. You see, after PSLE, after O-level, after A-level, all the young girls go out, they all wear hot pants. But that is actually nakedness to God. Okay, what else? What other type of dressing that will go under this principle? Singlet? Huh? What? Back? Oh, backless, yes, backless. It's still revealing the flesh. Backless, okay. Singlets? Singlets? What else? I'll give it to you lah. Short skirts, shorts, slit skirts. Low blouses, short blouses that bear the midriff. You know, some ladies wear, I don't want to make you all imagine too much, but just read, okay? Deep V-neck dresses, backless dresses, halter, not halter tops. Do you know what's halter tops? I didn't know what it was. Halter tops basically is basically just a piece of cloth that sometimes ladies wear, and then they have a string that's tied and it covers the front. Halter tops, okay? Yeah. Right? And any modern swimsuit, the two-piece swimsuit, it's immodest, all right? It's immodest. Immodest clothing would also include any style that uses flimsy material that can be easily seen through, all right? That's immodest. Basically, it's God's principle. Any dressing that gets people to see parts of your body that they shouldn't be seeing, only your husband should be seeing, only your wife should be seeing, is immodest. Okay? And we need to move forward with this because biblically, dressing is a non-issue with many people. But it is an issue with God because it reflects God's glory. It reflects the fact that we are born again, all right? Our salvation. Any questions? Any questions? We need to understand this. Okay? Okay, the next one. Modest attire does not essentially accent the body. What does that mean? It means that, you know, there's some clothing or some dresses or some pants that is so tight that it's as if it just hugs the person's body. That's tight. So a lot of people, like a lot of maybe ladies or even especially those muscular men, they just wear singlet because with a singlet they can see everything. And basically, it's flaunting the body. That's, you know, for the ladies, you say, okay, you know, flaunt your body, go ahead. But you know, for guys, one principle for ladies to really understand, how you dress affects men's eyes. How we dress as Christians actually affects a brother, okay? Many, 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 many years ago when we were in the, when it's not 1096, we were in number 4 Jalan Telopo, okay? This is my personal testimony as a pastor. There was one lady who was wearing short skirt right at the back, sitting right at the back, okay? No longer around. I literally have to preach looking at the side and the side. And it's not that I want to, but it's there. And the way she sits and the way she dressed was not very, very honoring. And it doesn't edify me. And it actually distracts me. Pastor, you should have more control over yourself. Speak to your husband or maybe friends you trust. Guys are very attracted by sight. And Satan knows that. Therefore, the way we dress need to actually help our brother maintain the mind. It's not just for us, you know, also outside. And so we have to be very careful with our dressing. I'm just sharing with you. So if a lady or man, you know, when a lady dresses tight, it actually can show parts of the body that it's as if she isn't wearing anything. Okay? All right? It's immodest and skimpy attire because a woman's figure is emphasized and accentuated. That's what the devil wants. All right? Turn to Genesis. Okay? Let's keep our minds on the scriptures. Turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. And this is one principle that we have to be careful with children. In verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and she did eat. The eyes of them both were open. And what's the first thing they notice? They knew that they were naked. This is within marriage, you know. This is within marriage, you know, for Adam and Eve. Because prior to that, there was no problem. But sin came in and it corrupted their minds. So they saw, eh. So, but biblically teaching, in the bonds of marriage, it is holy. Okay, the Bible says, the bed is undefiled. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. It is holy. But when the devil takes it outside, it becomes corrupted. Does it make sense? Okay, so one has to understand, modest attire does not accentuate. So therefore, we don't want to dress up so tightly that people can see our body parts, okay, especially for the ladies. Because it doesn't help us to focus on worship. For some, if brothers, therefore, we need to really live for God and also be spirit-filled and make a covenant with our eyes. Okay, after this, we talk about all the practical things that we need to talk about. But this is important. Any questions? So one thing, it must be modest, okay? It shouldn't be exposing parts of our body. We shouldn't dress ourselves so tightly that people can actually see our body shape, and you know, the brain can actually imagine things they shouldn't be imagining. Okay. Modest attire is not extravagant. Okay, the Bible says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Okay? Now, when you look at the picture of this lady and the daughter, what's the first thing that you look at? Sorry? Huh? The clothes they are wearing. So we're talking about clothes, so you look at the clothes. Okay? Let's say we're not talking about clothes. What would be the first thing? How will your eyes be immediately trained to? You look at the face. Because there's nothing else to look at. You look at the face. Alright? And that's how God designed us to be, in order to protect us. Okay? Now this is an example of modest apparel. Alright? Not with broidered hair. In other words, the attire we wear shouldn't be... Have you seen some ladies' hair that is like very high and lots of things hanging around, you know? Like a lot of decoration, okay? And then gold or pearls or costly array. Some ladies, you know, have their earrings out. Things that hang like very big earrings and really lots of gold and it's like they call it a walking Christmas tree. There's so many things that decorate the person. God says, the idea of dressing is not to draw attention to yourself. Not to draw attention to yourself for the ladies. Okay? Does it mean I cannot dress nicely? I cannot dress in new clothes? I cannot dress in it? No, it doesn't. But it must fulfill God's requirement for modesty. So our ladies dress well. And I'm thankful we shouldn't have any thoughts because they are dressing modestly and we honor God that way. We honor God and we edify our brethren as well. Okay, any questions? No questions? Okay, if not, let's move on. Okay, this is going to be the second principle, but I want to highlight the Bible verses first. In Genesis 1 verse 27, the Bible says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of them, God created him. Male and female created he them. Alright? What does that first verse teach us about gender? About gender. About male and female. There is male and female, right? Okay? There is a very clear distinction between the two. If you look at the second verse, the Bible says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Okay? God actually put a Bible principle there. The woman is not to wear something that belongs to a man. A man is not supposed to wear something that belongs to a woman. There was one time I was walking along Jalan Besar Road, and it's near my school. So I was walking along. So I was, this poor lady, I was probably about 100 meters, this poor lady was having a hard time walking on the high heels. You know. Then when that lady walked close to me, I realized it wasn't a lady. It was a guy dressed up as a lady with high heels, and he was having a hard time trying to balance himself on the high heels. He's like, ooh, then I kind of just walked. And I was only about 13, 14 years old. These things really stick in my mind. But the Bible says a woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man, neither a man put on woman's garment. All that them that do so are an abomination. The word abomination is a very strong language in the Hebrew, that God absolutely hates it with a passion, and he will do something about it. Okay, the abomination means something that's really disgusting to God. Okay? And then in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 14 and 15, doth not even nature, that means the very the natural thing, teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Okay? So ladies, if you have long hair, it's a glory. God gave you that glory. Okay? Keep it. Honor that and honor God with that. Okay? So what does these three verses actually tell us? It tells us there is a gender. God had made men male and female. There is no in-between. There is no in-between. There is no cross-dressing. There is no in-between. There's no cross-dressing. Okay? So God, that's God's Bible principle from this. The second principle is that a Christian's clothing is to be clearly male or female. Okay? You have to be clearly a male, clearly a female. I will read some commentaries on this, and these are godly men who have studied. Albert Barnes said, the distinction between the sexes is natural and divinely established and cannot be neglected without indecorum and consequent danger to purity. Okay, the idea there, if you neglect this distinction, you will lead to impurity. You will lead to inappropriateness. Okay, just like what Brother Aldwin was saying, if one of the men here dress up in a Hello Kitty shirt, see, firstly, you smile already. it is inappropriate. Okay? So, it has to be clearly male and female. Okay, another man of God said this, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. It is very unseemly and impudent and contrary to the modesty of her gender, her sex. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment which will betray infirmity and softness unbecoming of men. If a man dress up in a dress, basically he become, have you seen men who try to do that and try, no lah. Can you imagine the pastor, I say this all the time. And you're like, pastor, what's happened to you? In your mind, you know that that's not appropriate for a man. And if I dress up as a woman, that's even different. All right? Okay, I will never do that. Okay. Since in nature, a difference of the gender sexes is made, it is proper and necessary that this should be known by difference of dress, or otherwise many evils might follow. If a lady dress up in like a man, there might be problems. All right, there was one problem I had when I was just a very young Christian, probably about 14, 15 years old. I attended a Christian camp. So there was this person, he had short hair, and then he was dressed in a Yonex t-shirt, you know, jeans and all that. Then being friendly, first day of camp, I put, hi, how are you? My name is Johnny. What's your name? The person looked at me and said, my name is Cindy. Oops, I put my hand off and said, I'm sorry. And it's because of the way she came. Because I just looked at the dressing and thought that he was a guy because he wear jeans, you know, your next t-shirt, badminton, I like to play badminton. And I put my hand around there and thought it was a boy, but turned out to be a girl. Other evils, but thank God, it's just this, but no other things can follow in terms of rebellion, all that. Many, many years ago, there was this girl in rebellion to the parents, purposely dressed up as a male. Cut her hair short, dressed up in male clothing all the time as a sign of rebellion against dad. Okay? The Christian's clothing is to be clearly male and female. Okay, let me just give you other verses. which is there. Okay, I'll go back to Genesis in terms of the dressing. And Adam, okay, this is after Adam and Eve fell. So they were naked, right? What did they try to do? They tried to cover their parts with fig leaves. Right? Fig leaves. That's what people try to do today also. Fig leaves. But God said, hey, your covering is not enough. And what did he do? He actually made coats of skin for them. Coats of skin. Okay? How did God get the skin? Think. How did God, or where did God get the skin from? Huh? Animals, okay? What did he have to do to the animals? He has to kill the animals in order to provide that clothing for Adam and Eve. Remember before that, there was no death. Sin hasn't come in yet. This is the first, or rather the first mention of the practice of the innocent dying for the guilty. The lamb didn't do anything wrong, but God killed the lamb to provide the covering for man's nakedness. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ was a perfect lamb that died for us so that we can be clothed in the robe of righteousness. Okay? Clothing is a picture of the covering of our sinful shame as a believer in Christ. And I'll give you an idea of when God made the coats of skin. Literally, the word coats of skin means a covering. Okay? Oh, it's quite out. Can't shift. Coats of skin basically is, now this is just in the olden days, this is what they do. There's a covering from here all the way to the ankle levels, okay? And that's why you find in the olden movies, they always have that dress. Well, those ideas didn't come from nowhere. It came from the Bible. So the coats of skin in the original, in the Hebrew, actually has the idea of covering of the skin, okay? Now, with this in mind, God actually gave the priest in the temple, all right, another principle in Exodus 28:42, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins, even unto the thighs, shall they reach. These are the undergarments of the high priests. Because the high priest will have to do a lot of moving, walking up. And so God actually provided them what we call linen breeches. What are breeches? Breeches is actually a separation between the thighs. If it's just a coat, it goes all the way down. Just stand here. It's just a coat, it goes all the way down. But a breech is this. This is called a breech, okay? It's supposed to go up to down to the thigh. Okay, the goal of that is actually to, if you read in the Hebrew, is actually to hide the private parts of the priest, okay? And it's given for the priest to protect their nakedness when they conduct, because the priest will have to go up and all that, and all the worshippers will be down, and they'll be looking up. And even in the small detail, God actually provided for the priests to protect the people in terms of their modesty, okay? Which leads to this, okay? Which leads to this in the modern application of that, or of that principle there. God didn't give that to the ladies, primarily to the priests, and all the priests are men, okay? Now, in terms of the fashion, I'll just kind of, this dress is supposed to go down. Let me just move on, okay? Any questions up to there? So in Genesis 3:21, God made the covering, and then for the men, he actually allowed them to have the breeches to cover their nakedness because they have to go up. That's why even practically, for ladies, okay, now for the ladies' clothing, let's move on to this passage, okay, it's quite a long. But in first, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, the word apparel has the sense of a lengthened garment. A lengthened garment. The katas stole, which is actually in the Greek, literally means the robes which kings dress in. You know, kingly robes are very long. And that's the idea that Paul was giving to the ladies at the church at that time that, hey, your clothing ought to be modest and the apparel ought to be long and flowing for the ladies. You know, for the longest time, many people challenge that. But as pastor, I'm telling you that God's principle is for ladies to be in dresses and skirts because of the biblical principle reflected here. And for ladies who honor the Lord, the goal is, Lord, what do you say about my clothing and how do I honor you? Okay? And so in honoring the Lord, godly women ought always be sensitive to their clothing. The phrase translated in modest apparel literally has a sense of a lengthened garment. The idea that it can cover all the way. The greater idea here initially, essentially, is of being modest and conservative of dress. Immorality, whether of thought or deed, in other words, if you think it or do it, is often predicated, in other words, is often brought about upon the improper and immodest dress of women. This is particularly so in the world. So such should never be the case in the church. It should be recalled that it was the immodesty of Bathsheba which prompted the adultery initiated by David. Godly women will always be circumspect and modest in their apparel. And this is an important principle, okay, that the Christian's principle is clearly male and female. Any questions? Questions? Which is why in the Crossroads camp, we want to make it very clear. Does the girls, when it comes to worship, to honor the Lord, needs to be in their, at least their school skirts, culottes, or long dresses, okay? Many of them are unsafe. So it's very hard to kind of enforce this, right? But what we're doing is we are going to make it clear that when you come to worship, you need to be dressing appropriately. All right, so no jeans, no whatever in the worship at all. If the person is not safe, outside of that, we require them to at least have sports pants because we can't enforce that. But for Christians, we need to honor the Lord by our dressing, which is why we actually put those stipulations right in the camp. We actually put those stipulations. I hope as a Christian, we will want to honor that because that's how we honor the Lord through our dressing. All right? And yes, you know, in our mind's eye, there may be inconsistencies. But you know, as a church, what we want to do moving forward is to even honor the Lord in how we dress. Not just coming to church, but even outside. Because the way we dress can actually affect men and stumble men for ladies. But on the other hand, men also, there are some men who is okay with, I really thank God. There was one time we went to a particular house, and then we wanted to give the person a surprise because it was the person's birthday. And I'm thankful I went first. And I realized the person was he just wear his short, he didn't wear his shirt, and then say hello because I'm a guy. Quickly hello, they oops, he ran in and changed before the other brothers and sisters came. You know, we need to be careful even in our dress. Not so much. Well, we need to be aware that in dressing principles, God sees us both outside and inside. And we need to be consistent with God. And I want to encourage us to have a heart that wants to honor God and to maintain this principle of modesty. And also, may our clothing always be clearly male and female, not just in church, but outside as well. Okay? Any questions? We'll stop here. Next week, we'll talk more about the next principle. Any questions? Any questions before we... Any questions? Now, this is actually quite a sensitive topic. The reason is because if we really honor the Lord and really want to say, I will follow this, it may mean you have to buy new clothes. It may mean you have to change your wardrobe. Many years ago, for those who remember, when we were at number 4 Jalan Telopo, as pastor, I would come to Friday night in T-shirt and jeans to teach the Friday night. God convicted my heart about that. God really convicted my heart about that and said, you don't take my word seriously by the way you dress. And God convicted my heart. There was, I think, at least a couple of years before I finally was convicted and said, Lord, I'm sorry that I didn't take your teaching seriously. And that's why Friday nights now I wear tie and all that. Why? Because it reflects the seriousness of the teaching of the Word of God. And that's what we need to also use, what we need to also have in our hearts to honor the Lord. God has to convict me also in many areas in this. And I hope as a church, we can say that, no, that's not my conviction. Well, then study the Bible and find that conviction from God. And honor Him first. And I can tell you, if you honor the Lord first, the Lord will honor you. And you know, we need to teach our younger ones also as they grow up. In a world that is so immoral and immodest, that we need to also check ourselves. So one of the things that, I mean, at least many of us are church members, in service, shorts, jeans, whether men or ladies, all right, in jeans, at least for ladies, is to honor the Lord. We need to come into the presence of God with proper modest dressing. All right, so moving forwards, pray for me as a church. I will discuss with all. I intend to change the constitution, all right, and to just put in a lot of Bible principles. I've learned that our ROS holds us very tightly to our constitution. If we don't do it, then they will actually penalize us. Okay, but thankfully right now it's still okay. We're still transitioning. But you know, moving forward, I intend to change the constitution to reflect Bible principles. Because we need to practice what we preach, okay? All along, we have been using just any constitution that's taken from other churches. But right now, we want to change so that we can reflect very clearly what we believe. And we have to actually reflect that to our government as well, okay? Any questions? Any questions? And I hope these lessons will be seriously considered. So that moving forwards, we can grow as Christians and be able to teach the next generation and teach them right. All right. I'm thankful many of you are doing that. All right. At least your church and all that, you do that. I'm praying that God will get a grip of our hearts and to honor the Lord in every area of our lives, whether it's work, church, and all that. All right. And that's something that you have to work with the Lord. But for the standards of the church, in order to show our younger people and also people coming in that there is a Bible principle that we want to uphold, I will ask that we cooperate with that, all right? Okay, any questions? Any questions at all? There are many practical issues as well, okay? Pastor, I work in a job that if I dress, it's going to be dangerous and all that. I'm a professional swimmer, so what am I going to do? You know, these are questions that personally you have to actually deal with. One of the answers to, like, I'm a professional swimmer, I'm a lady, I'm a professional swimmer, that's my life. What do I do? And I believe but if you really want to honor the Lord, you may have to give up your professional swimming. Wow, how can I? It's my life. Well, if you're professional swimming but you don't honor the Lord in His word, that's something that we will have to struggle with. But surrendering to the Lord always brings blessings. Okay, so that's all I'm going to say. I know it's tough, but you know, if you honor the Lord, God sacrificed all for us. So I pray that if we want to follow Him, such are the things that we may need. But I don't think many of us I'm using that as an illustration only. How many of you are professional swimmers here? No, right? So I think I can safely use that. But you know, for us, if there are certain things that really go against what God says, I pray that God will give us the strength to say, God, I love you. And because I love you, I'll let it go. I'll do something else to honor God. Okay, any questions? The unisex, okay, I'll just say two things. One is actually the whole unisex movement is not from God. It is an attempt to break down God's gender divisions. So that's the first thing. But there are some of the t-shirts or whatever. I mean, if you see me wearing Hello Kitty, and you know, if you see me wearing a blouse rather than a shirt, would you feel it strange? It still looks like shirt. But you know that is actually not appropriate already. But you're talking about probably those t-shirts that can be worn by two, like a VBS t-shirt. I don't think that's a problem because it doesn't highlight anything. It just highlights we're from this church. Just a t-shirt, okay? As long as it's properly covered, all right, not see-through, all right? I think there's 1 or 2 years the VBS was, the material was a little bit bad. So I don't think there's any problem of that. Yeah. Any questions? And by the way, it's not what I think, but I think in that situation, spiritually, I don't think it's a problem. Otherwise, we wouldn't have T-shirts for both the male and female workers, brothers and sisters. Okay? Yeah. But those that are distinctly ladies and men, we need to wear that so that it reflects who God made us and how we can honor God. Anyone else? Any questions? Any questions? Feel free to ask, you know, don't keep the questions to yourself so that moving forward, the goal is actually to grow in Christ. So in order to grow in Christ, you need to know the answers. If I don't know the answers, I'll find out for you. Any questions? Okay, if not, let's have a word of prayer. Then next week we'll continue. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, and I pray even as we touch on this topic of dressing, I just ask your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and our minds with regards to this. The Lord, moving forward as a church, Lord, we will be holy not only in our character, our heart, but also in our dressing that will reflect the Bible principles that you're teaching. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray it won't be a stumbling block to believers who truly want to grow, but help them to realize that's part and parcel of growing into the likeness of Christ. Lord, I'm sure godly ladies in the Bible like Sarah and Mary Magdalene and Joanna and all those people in the Bible who loved you and served you, dressed in a way that honored you, Lord. Father, I pray that even in Ambassador, we will live the kind of life that we want to honor you above all. Thank you, Lord. Bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.